Y'all, what's up, everybody? Thank you for downloading another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm your host, Jordan Rabel. There's no co-host. There are no guests. Just me. I'm sorry. It's still really funny. Just apologize immediately for what the show is, that it's me alone. Fuck, man. I don't know. I'm in such a bad mood. You're not all comedians, but you ever just hate whatever you do? You ever completely hate everything you do? That's how I feel right now. I hate all of my jokes. I hate going on stage and telling people these stupid jokes because they're just not even representative of me so often. It's just so fucking frustrating. They're just nonsense. I mean, some of them they're effective, but it's like, you start saying the thing, you're just like, this fucking story again? Seriously? How many times have you told this to, and how many people? You still care about this? And the answer is obviously no, I don't care about it. And the solution is to write more, but goddamn, that's hard. Jesus Christ. I just hate every single thing I say on stage. All of it. Just pure loathing. Excited about none of it. None of it. I don't know. I guess this is just like an artistic sensibility or something. You know, you just feel like everything you do is just bad and just not very good. And you're working your butt off and to what and to nobody. But hey, that's life, you know? Jesus Christ, 2 minutes in and already... and already pure negativity. How about that? I don't know, man. I had a show last night. It was interesting because I've been working on this joke that I actually have enjoyed working on and saying, but it's about Papa John saying the N-word. Of course, well, that would be a thing. No, I like it because the reason I like the joke is because it's not just a really bland topic. It's a thing that grabs people's attention, and it's more, you know, it's more interesting. It's a thing that not everyone might like, and I think that's where, you know, it's more fun to do comedy from a place like that than just do, like, you know, some jokes you do or stories, you're like, oh, everyone's gonna like this. Why? Because it's like, it's just fun. But it's, you know, the more comedy you do, you start like being bored with all those sorts of things. And that's where I'm at right now. Just a little bit bored with the things I've said that are perhaps effective. Like, I've been closing on this like 15, 20 minutes of sex jokes for like a year now. And I am tired of saying them. But, and then it's like, you know, if you're headlining shows, like, what do? Not do material, you know, that works. You kind of got to deliver. I guess I could just eat it. That's the thing about stand-up is you got to go say it to people and you got to eat it a bit in order to get it to a place that's better. But so last night I was doing a show up in Harlem and I was doing my Papa John's joke, and the Papa John's joke is there's two parts to it. And I think I riffed it on this podcast, and that's maybe where I came up with at least the original idea. But it's just that Papa John said the N-word, and now Papa John's pizza sales are down. And of course, Papa John's pizza sales are down because Papa John's pizza is not good enough to also have bad opinions. It's like, who do you think you are? Chick-fil-A? Tags. And then the second part of it is just that, yeah, Papa John's got fired for saying the N-word, and I was telling one of my friends about this news story, and he cut me off halfway through it, and he was like, well, hold on. Did Papa John say it with an A or a hard R? And I was like, does it matter, bro? Does anybody really distinguish between those two when the N-word comes out of a white person's mouth? Nobody's ever heard a white person hit the first four letters of the N-word and gone, wait for it. Let's see how it ends up. See, it's not a bad joke, you know, it's worth working on. I'm figuring it out all the way. But anyway, I was doing that joke up in Harlem and people laughed really, hit pretty hard. And then right when I finished it, like one black dude in like the back was just like, why don't you just say the N-word? I was like, what? And he was just say it. I think we just give too much power to it. And I was like, are you telling me right now to say the N-word? And he's like, yeah, just say it if you want to say it so bad. And I was like, I don't. That was like the whole joke was actually about that. I said I didn't like that Papa John said it, and I said he should be fired for saying it, especially because he said it during an earnings conference call. Yo, there's a mosquito flying right at me. I was about to kill it. That's what that sound was. But I've never, you think I'm going to just test out whether or not I can say the N-word in a room in Harlem? Dude, are you out of your mind? I don't have can say N-word face either. I've heard there's some white friends I have who will use that word on stage and will get away with it. I am not one of those people, because even when I put it with an A, it comes out of my mouth and still sounds like a hard heart. Just something about my face, you know, just the way I look, and the way I feel. You're like, it's not part. I didn't grow up with that word anywhere near me. Dude, I don't even listen to rap music. I don't listen to like any rap music. So that word is just so foreign to me that when I say it, it just sounds horrible, right? Who would have thought? And what was hilarious is this guy says that, and then like this room's like probably 75% black. Like literally every other black person was like, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Which is kind of hilarious too, because you're like, what are you all going to do if I do it? You know what I mean? Like he's telling me to do it. It's almost like they feel like if I do say it, that they then have to do something to me just to stand up for the culture. And I get it. They do. They have a responsibility to be mean to me in some capacity. I mean, I don't think you should lay hands on someone for saying words that aren't directly violent. But still, I understand that, you know, if somebody is going to say stuff like that, that there is a chance of repercussions. Which that's not even a good reason to not say the word. If your reason for not saying the N-word is a fear of getting your ass kicked, that's kind of like, that shouldn't be your why. Your why should be because it's hurtful to others, it's demeaning, and it's a word that has been used to subjugate a lot of people and has been used for evil. So the reason I don't use it is because it's not right to say around other people because of how it makes them feel. That should be a reason. It shouldn't be, oh, because they're going to beat the shit out of me. That almost makes them sound like you. It's still, that's almost racist in itself, because you're assuming, it sounds like you're thinking that like they, black people couldn't control themselves if you say the word, right? So your reason should be your reason for not saying it should purely be because it's not right. Not because of the repercussions of saying the word, if that makes sense. But who would have thought, dude, that a black guy in Harlem would be telling a white comedian who just stated his opinion on the word through a joke that he should let it fly? Is too much weight given to that word? Not for me to decide. That's way above my pay grade. And also, I'm not going to be the one spearhead. I know there's like factions of and groups of white people who are like, dude, you're not going to say it? Dude, you're a pussy. Yeah, you're right. If that makes me a pussy, I'm not going to say it. That's not my fight. You know what I mean? You got to pick and choose your battles. That's one thing you get about getting older, is you realize what you should and should, what's worth your time, what's not. That one's not worth my time. I don't want to just be able to say that, you know? I don't know, man. I'm in a bad mood because my brother and I put out a sketch and nobody's really watching it. That's the truth. That's, you know. You know what's so annoying is that if we had more fucking comedian social capital, then all of the things we shoot would be getting so many goddamn views and so many shares. But because we are who we are and neither of us has any heat, for some reason, it just doesn't get there. And then I feel corny for even caring about shares. God, just fucking hate the internet. I hate having to figure out Instagram. I'm like 30. I don't want to figure out how to post this bullshit, you know? I don't want to figure it out. Dude, the second I don't need this stuff, I am out. It brings no happiness and no joy. to anybody. Doing this podcast brings joy to me. But like posting fucking pictures of myself, ugh. And for what, dude? Adds nothing. It adds no. I don't get any joy out of it. Even if something does get, quote, a lot of likes, ugh, you know? Dude, I've been watching, like, the show Ozark a lot lately. It's a really good, on Netflix, I recommend watching the Ozark. Not the Ozark. The Ozarks is just, I'm also, like, slightly familiar with it because I'm from that area. I'm from Kansas City. I'm on the Kansas side, but I grew up on State Line, and my family doesn't have a lake house. We're not at that level, you know, even though some survivor blogs have decided that my family's rich and loaded, they certainly are incorrect on that front. But so I'd always have friends who had lake houses, and what a shitty dude. The Ozarks is such a white trash area. You guys, you probably don't know this, but that's like kind of like, that's where like semi rich, but not actually rich people have like houses and they go to the lake. Dude, going to the lake all the time is disgusting. I know there's some people who are like lake people, but like if you own a boat, so expensive. Also, not that much fun. It's fun for an afternoon. And then you own a boat. You have to take care of this thing. So much work. You're out in the... Driving is not enjoyable. And that's what boating is. But every time I get on a boat, it's fun for like an afternoon. And then I'm like, I get tubing. I get water skiing. I don't want to do this more. Maybe I just find nothing fun. Maybe that's the truth. But going to the lake and lake water, it always feels disgusting, especially Lake of the Ozarks. I think there's like some purified, isn't there some water, bottled water that's Lake of the Ozarks? It's like Ozarks or something. Don't drink it. If that water is actually from the Ozarks, then it's covered in alcohol. It's just alcohol, sweat, and piss. That's all that water is. So don't drink it. That show is kind of accurate, though, to portrayal of, I mean, not the crime part of it, but just the way it looks and like the Kansas City mob. I mean, there's a Kansas City mob. I think they somehow are still in business. I don't know how. What do they even do? What do they traffic? I guess they probably traffic hard drugs until we just legalize everything in one generation. Then I don't know what they'll traffic. Probably sex trafficking, but even that, I think that'll get legalized in like 50 years. So we'll just let everyone do everything they want in 50 years. That's what we'll be at. But watching that show, it's an infuriating. The thing that's infuriating about it is that the Snell family, the family from the Ozarks that's like rich and they were growing heroin on their land, is the dumbest family ever. The old guy in it, I can't remember his name. But their decision making is so poor all of the time. They go straight to whatever is the most destructive thing. They always do that. Whatever's the most destructive, the Snell family hits that up and they just destroy everything for the Arrested Development guy. For Michael Bluth. I can't remember his name either. I'm gonna call him Michael Bluth. But right when Michael Bluth seems to have everything in hand, they make some sort of rash, prideful decision. And he's always, I hate when characters, they kind of speak way smarter than they would in real life. I hate that in shows. Like a guy like that, no disrespect, but he's not going to be that well educated. Chances are if he's from the Ozarks and that's where he's lived his whole life, and his whole life, all he's done is he's married this one woman. He's never had a kid and his only job is selling poppy to turn into heroin on his farm. I mean, that guy probably not reading a lot in his life, probably not going to class all the time, probably has a high school education. Not that you need to go to college to be smart, but this dude probably pretty. My point is he hasn't seen the world and he hasn't really been anywhere. So he's not going to be that intelligent. Yet somehow this character is always speaking in like biblical aphorisms. And it's like, there's no way that that dude would have just all these amazing sayings off the top of his head. I hated them. They're almost, some of them are like nonsense aphorisms. I was like, they're always just not like, you never take a shoe when you see a swallow. You're like, what does that mean, dude? But he's always has like something pithy and witty to say to Michael Bluth, who I keep expecting to be funny. I keep expecting him to be funny. He's not funny at all in the show. He plays a straight man so well. He does it so well. And he plays the same character in every single thing. And this is like deadpan Michael Bluth, but there's no, the other characters aren't funny. So you're like, I thought that was going to be a joke, but it's not. It's a good show, though. It is a good show. I really enjoy it anyway, you know. I've enjoyed watching it religiously. Getting, dude, I feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I feel stupid most of the time, and feel like, I feel like I'm not getting the things done that I need to get done. I think I'm such like a fake hard worker that it's like other people think I'm trying, but I'm never really trying. And I think that that is the truth. Cause I always, other people think like, I listen to that Kanye song, he thinks is like bipolar shit is his superpower. And I always think like, what's my superpower? And it's probably that I try really hard all the time. But that's like the worst superpower to have, being a try hard. It's such a bad superpower to have. I know people think that like having grit, determination is how you succeed. And sure, I guess, but also what a cross to bear. It sucks being a try hard. It's so much better to just be a natural. Being a tryhard blows because that means you have to grind all the time. It also blows because if you're a tryhard, you know you're a tryhard. Thus, you know what you're going to have to do to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. And you're just like, oh my fucking God. God damn it. I'm going to have to go through hell to get to the place I want to go. And I've always been a tryhard. Just always been that way. Even in, I played soccer in college, as I've mentioned fucking 900 times. And I always think the difference between me and other people was that I was a tryhard. And I think the thing that was missing from me is guidance. And I almost feel that way right now. I wish I could get some sort of guidance on all this comedy stuff. Like, how do you think about your writing and what do you do to make things happen? Or how do you improve like your performance? But you don't even know, you're looking at stuff and you don't have anyone showing you how to do it. So you're going to have to, you're having to like discover all of this stuff on your own. Like my girlfriend is asking me, so you just listen to like all your sets. How'd you learn to do that? And you were like, I don't know. I just thought that you should do that because you got to listen to when you were getting laughs and when you weren't getting laughs. But yeah, being a tryhard, that is a burden. That is a burden. It sucks. And I would always use, if you're like, I don't know if anyone else is known as a hard worker, but if you're a hard worker, you almost use that to intimidate other people. You ever do that at work or whatever you do? Want other people to know you're going to outwork them, so they're defeated before you even start. Like, they know you're going to go deeper and farther than they are, so they're like they've already lost. Now, the problem is that in the world, there are a lot of tryhards. And what really sucks is when a tryhard meets a tryhard, and now you both are at the same level of effort, and you're looking at each other, and you're like, shit. Are we going to kill each other? Are we going to just work each other to death? That's what I think my brother and I are going to do to each other. We always work together, but we both, I feel like, just keep like pushing the other further and further. And then one of us is just going to... It's just going to quit everything. I was going to say hang myself. That's so dramatic, you know. You know what I mean? You know what I'm so sick of getting? I'm so sick of getting reviews. Not reviews of me. I mean, I'm so sick of other businesses and other things asking me to review their product. I have nothing to say to you. I have nothing to fucking say to you. JetBlue, stop asking me how my flight was. I'm still alive. I'm where I want to be. That's how my flight went, okay? To me, it's binary. It's either good or it's bad. And if you don't hear from me, it was good. I don't want to spend my free time letting your stupid fucking business know how it went. Get some confidence in your product, dude. Feedback doesn't even help companies anyway. They're not changing anything. Dude, they record every call for quality assurance. Who the fuck is listening to that? Nobody. Nobody's listening to the phone calls. They're generating too many phone calls. I hate when you call a business for help. First off, impossible to get a hold of anyone now. It's all through electronic, stupid voice recognition systems that don't even work. You have to just yell in your phone gibberish in order to just finally get an operator. You have to break their stupid fucking voice recognition system to get to an operator. And then they're always like, there's higher than expected waiting, or there's higher than expected call volume at this moment. Yeah, Bank of America, there always is. Hire more people. Hire more people, okay? Every fucking time I call your stupid company, there's a higher than expected call volume. Well, at this point in time, expect it. This many people are calling in, okay? Hire more people. I don't want to be on hold. I don't want to be... I'm letting you guys... I'm putting my money in the bank, and I'm letting you guys fucking invest it however you feel. Answer my phone call, because my card isn't working, and I want to get this Wawa sandwich right now. And no, I don't carry cash anymore. Because people are going to mug me if I do. It's like, Jesus Christ. Do you have anything to say about our business? Yeah, you're fucking annoying. If I didn't have to interact with you in any way, I would take that option. But I have no choice. I have no choice. Get a little secure. Get some confidence. I can't stand when I get that email from an airline, from an Amazon seller. How did you feel about the whey protein you got? Well, did I write anything bad to you? That's how I felt. If I had a problem, I'd seek you out. If I don't have a problem, let me live. Let me live. I don't want to talk to you. I barely have time for loved ones. You think I got fucking time to fill out a survey, Allstate, about my insurance? You want to know how I feel about my insurance? It's too expensive. But you're not going to lower it because this is New York City. So we're at an impasse. And there's nothing either of us can do about it. I have to have my stupid car insurance. And you're going to put it at the rate you want. So what the fuck am I going to do? Take it up the ass. That's what I'm going to do. That's my problem. And if I tell you, you have no solution for that because you want my money. And you and all the other car insurance places are colluding to charge us all $1,000 a month, $1,000 every 6 months for minimal car insurance. That's the feedback. You want that feedback? I could give it to you, but you won't do anything with it. You're just going to apologize to me and be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's just that's what the comps are in your area. Yeah, you're right. That is what the comps are in my area. Dude, life is so expensive. I don't know how anybody has kids. You know? You ever look at a new father? Dudes look like shit. They look horrible. You look at a new father and you're like, are you sure you didn't have the kid? They look like they're not sleeping because all of a sudden they just took on probably a 500 grand project. Maybe a million. How much does it take to raise a kid in America? Because what you end up doing as a father is you just end up tightening your own belt. That's what you have to do. You brought a kid into the world. It's on you. But also, it's a bit unfair. It is a bit unfair. That's what I look at. I think about my future. I'm like, how the fuck could I have a kid? I can't have a kid. Pay for everything, you know? I can't afford a kid. That's insane to me. It's like, who am I, Elon Musk? I don't have the money for a child. Dude, Elon Musk got in trouble for smoking weed. That was, how dumb. What does it matter? Nobody, he wasn't working, dude. He's on the Joe Rogan, Experience. I didn't even watch it. Even Joe, dude, I almost think Joe Rogan shouldn't have handed him the spliff or whatever he gave him. He shouldn't have done it, but he did it because he knew it would get him a lot of attention. And Elon Musk, that guy's on tilt. That guy's fucking him all over the place. He called the guy that rescued the Thai children, he called him a pedophile. And then my friend told me he doubled down on it. He was like, yeah, no, I'm really sorry for calling the guy a pedophile. But seriously, keep your eye on that guy. He did that. He then acted like Tesla. He was going to take the company private in order to get all of these investors in the public to shut the fuck up. And then the third thing was he smoked weed on the Joe Rogan Experience. I mean, of those three things, that's so stupid. Legal in many states. Legal in the place he was smoking it. So who gives a shit? But instead, we're all just going to fake like we're like, oh, I smoked weed. Do you really care, man? Do you really care? You really think that's going to affect more than that next like hour and a half when he's just sitting with Joe Rogan and Joe Rogan gets bored with questions, starts talking about murdering elk? That's where it's going to head. What does it matter? And you know what annoys me is everyone's enjoying the takedown of Elon Musk. They're savoring the takedown of Elon Musk. All this guy has done is try to better humanity. That's all Elon Musk has done. He has done everything he can to try to advance us technologically. He's trying to get us to Mars because God knows we're fucking this planet up. He's trying. All he's done is try to privatize the space business because NASA hasn't been sending anything anywhere for years because what's the point of even going to the moon again? We've already been there 12 times. It's like, you know what that's like? You know, like, it's like if we went to the moon more times, that's like if you own a lake house and you go there every summer. It's like, are you never bored with your life? Get bored. Do something different. You want to just go look at the same shit water at the Ozarks? All Elon Musk has done is try to improve renewable energy, give us electric cars, so that we can reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. Wow. What a terrible person. Let's enjoy the fall of this man. What's your guys' fucking problem? You know what? He should smoke that joint. Dude needs to chill out for a second because he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Give Elon Musk a break, okay? So what if he said that the right amount of time to spend with a woman is 7 to 10 hours a week? Yeah. Is that a bad thing to say? Yes. Is it true? Also, yes. That's the right amount of time to spend with your romantic partner. But don't say it out loud, Elon. But again, He's under so much pressure. This guy can't be expected to say the right things all the time. He's doing his best. All he's done is try to advance humanity. And all we have done is enjoy his downfall. Yo, fuck all you negative people for that. Support Elon here. I just can't afford a Tesla. That's the only thing I'm mad about. He's trying to make it so that I can, though. What do you want? Do you want to keep driving your stupid Chevys that get 10 miles to the gallon? Come on. I think this fall is going to be tough because my sister is on the show Survivor, and it's going to be very anxiety-inducing watching her on TV. It's because there's something about, you know, there's something about me playing the game I'm fine with. Like, I'm fine with me playing games and me, because I feel like perhaps I enjoy the control of me doing an activity. Like, but I can't watch people I love do stuff because it kills me. Maybe that's why I also can't have kids. I don't have to watch my kid's soccer game, not because I don't love him and want to support him, but because it's going to be so hard for me to watch, you know, a kid fail. But you need failures like the best thing for you. You learn from failures and we grow from failures. You don't really grow from successes, or so I'm told. I'm still waiting for the growth part from all these failures to kick in, but hey. So it's going to be tough, especially because there was a podcast with this notorious douche, Johnny Fairplay. And that's even what he says in his podcast, The Start, is that it's kind of supposed to be mean-spirited, which, wow, what a great concept for a podcast, dude. Real cool. And then he goes on, doesn't even provide, I mean, granted, it's all in preseason right now, so no one has any clue how the game goes. And also, I'm going to be unbelievably careful to not spoil anything to get me or my sister or anyone in trouble. But this dude has there. He's on a podcast. He's on his podcast with Troy Zan, and he did a review of the women of Survivor. I actually didn't listen to it because my older sister told me that he was just rude and bashed my sister, but apropos of nothing, pretty much. But they did a lot of commenting on these Survivor people's looks. It's fun. Here's what's funny to me about the fact that those guys would go then kind of get mean to any people that were on Survivor. The reason that I find it interesting is that you would think that people who have gone through something like that would have empathy for other people who are going through it. You would think that Johnny Fairplay and Troy Zan, yes, those are their real names, by the way. Some parents saw a baby and were like, that's a Troy Zan. Would have empathy for people who are also going through a thing they went through, in which people, perhaps at times unfairly, were spiteful and hateful towards them. You think that they would be like, you know, that was kind of wrong to be a troll on the internet. Or it was really shitty when people were a troll on the internet to me. I should not do that to other people. But yet it's odd because here they are going on a podcast being a troll to other people. Just makes you a bad person. There's no way around it. One of the things they said about my sister is they said she was trying too hard to be funny. Listen, from one trying too hard to be funny to another, she's not. I'm trying too hard to be funny. She is being a person. That was one thing. And then they called her entitled, which couldn't be further from the truth about my sister. And that'll bear out over time. But none of you know my sister. Some people will at some point in time through the show, but she is a doctor. I think there's this idea in people's heads that being a doctor is easy. I don't know where we came up with this thing where being a doctor is this easy career path and all doctors do is work 5 hours a day and then they're on the golf course the rest of the time. I don't know where the fuck that myth came about, but I'm going to let you know right now, couldn't be further from the truth. being a doctor, it straight up sucks. There's a reason I'm not a doctor. It's because the job's terrible. From what I hear. I mean, there must be some sort of internal gratification going on, because I can't, from my outside vantage point, see a reason anyone would want to be a doctor. I get why Troy Zan went and made himself a supermodel photographer. One, doesn't want to work that hard because he doesn't really have a work ethic. Two, because he just traveled the locales and he pressed the fucking button on the camera and the hot girl's in the front and she's really the one who's doing all the shit. You're a nothing. That job's a nothing. But being a doctor, it's like 10 years of schooling, $200,000+ in debt, and only then do you make the mediocre spoils that doctors make. They're not making that much, dog. When you think about the level of education they have to go through to get to that point, they're not making a lot of money. There really isn't an entitled doctor out there. There really isn't. Maybe some plastics, some guy who just puts fake boobs on women. You know? I don't know, is that like a specific doctor who only does that? But by and large, most doctors just grind. They have their task. I talked about like Sisyphean tasks last week about work. Yo, if there's any work that feels like you're pushing a boulder up a mountain and then it's rolling back down to the bottom, it's being a doctor. Doctors are not entitled. If anything, the patients are entitled. Have you seen the way that we all take care of our bodies? It's not good. We all eat whatever the fuck we want. We drink what we want. We don't sleep. We don't work out. We don't move. And then we wonder why our bodies are breaking down. Dude, because you've been trashing your car for 20 years. You haven't gotten the oil changed. What do you think's going to happen? It's going to break. It's not going to work. Well, and then nobody even listens to what doctors tell them to do. They give such good advice about what you need to do. Stop smoking. Dude still smokes. Don't eat so much. Continues to eat. Do these exercises. See this PT. Doesn't do any of it. Well, then how the fuck are you going to work? Not that sicknesses are your fault, but sometimes sicknesses are your fault. Sometimes. I mean, there is no doubt a genetic component where you draw a bad hand and some stuff just happens to you. But also, you do some stuff. You should have to return the body. I think somebody has a joke about that. That at the end of your life, you should have to return the body to God. Because then it would be in great shape. If you had to return it, you would return it in way better. But now the problem is that like you just had the same one the whole time. So you don't have to take it back to the dealership at the end of it. Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's challenging when you see someone getting publicly, you know, people bashing someone publicly. And you know what's interesting? It's fine, I think, when we talk about Survivor, for someone to bash your specific game, like your actual gameplay. But it's the personal stuff that's disgusting. For example, when they said, the only redeeming quality of my sister is that she's mildly attractive. Yo, you're all ugly, okay? I'm better looking than all three of you. There were three guys on the podcast. I don't even know the third one. Better looking than all three of you. Y'all are fucking ugly. You're a bunch of fours. See? How fun was that? That sucked. That sucked. Doesn't it suck when people get personal like that? I feel like it just shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. There's no reason for that. And yet somehow I don't get how someone who has been beaten down by social media in the past, which is what happens to people who've been on reality shows, is that people just tweet mean shit at them sometimes and send them death threats. It's just odd to me that they then would do the same thing to other people. They didn't do a death threat, but they would throw the same hate on other people. Why would you do that? Have some empathy. You know? Also, give up your 15 minutes of fame, you no-talent boners. That's what irks me. These guys have a medium, have something of a platform, and for what reason? For what reason? They don't deserve it. They're no talent. Ain't got no talent. They really don't. I will fight Johnny Fairplay. Imagine calling yourself that. How corny do you gotta be to call yourself Johnny Fairplay? Like, your nickname is Fairplay? FYI, it's irony, because he doesn't play fair. What a dork. Dog. What a dork. I'm Johnny. Did he give himself that name? I'm Johnny Fairplay. It's because I play dirty. What a loser. You fucking loser. Same for Troyzan. Troyzan is, you guys don't know this, he's one of these like totally unself-aware guys who thinks he's like real alpha and dope. Cause he hangs out with supermodels. But you know, man, you're like a 45-year-old single guy. You're a loser. There's a reason nobody's with you. If you're 45 and single, there's a reason for it. And it's not by choice, probably. It's not by choice. It's probably right here. Look inside. Look inside. That's why nobody's with you. I get that I'm now getting personal, but you know, man, they came with my sister. And I haven't been on the show. I have no empathy for how hard it is. Hey, don't worry. I've had people say mean stuff to me online all the time. All the time. What was one of the funniest comments I got in one of our sketches was, this is like a C-level acting class. And then someone wrote underneath it, you think that these guys went to acting class? Shit's hilarious, man. Yo, that's funny. Sometimes the internet's really mean. I have enjoyed Nike's attitude towards people wearing Nikes. They've been vicious. They've been like just ripping. Like, here's what they wrote online. How to burn our products safely. Always start your fire outside. Stand at least 5 feet from the open flame. Keep the clothes you're wearing away from the flame. Once burned, always douse the fire with water. Just do it safely. Hilarious. I love that they just leaned into it. I heard they've also been like, some people have tweeted at Nike they're going to burn their stuff. And Nike has just said, cool, burn it all. Don't buy our stuff ever again. That's what I want. I want companies to start doing that kind of shit when people tweet. Jeez, people have so many petty grievances with companies. That's why I don't even get the survey. You really want my petty grievance? No, you don't want it. You don't want it. But like, people just tweet like petty shit at like every time their flight's delayed by a hurricane at American Airlines, they'll get really angry with American Airlines. Like, they control weather at all. And I love that Nike's just saying, "Hey, you know what? Suck a dick. Suck a dick. We don't really give a shit. That's how we feel. That's how we feel. Suck a dick. Don't wear our shoes. We're fine with that. If you are who you say you are, we don't want you in our shoes." And like I said before, boy, was I spot on last week, huh? God damn, I'm a genius sometimes. I know I said I was stupid about 40 minutes ago, but god damn, I am so smart. I amaze myself with my ability. You know, I'm just seeing all these angles. I'm a genius. That's why you guys are listening to me. That's why I'm not listening to you. I would love to listen to you, you know? But I don't have the time. You ever have someone, this is a friend's idea, Rob Stocky, one of my comedian friends. Has anyone ever in the history when someone says, yo, you got to check this out, has anyone ever checked it out? No, man. I'm not going to check out whatever you're sending me. Sometimes I'll have friends send me like videos. No. No, I don't want to watch the fucking video. Leave me alone. I don't want to watch your shit. Whatever you send me, I don't care. I only want to watch good stuff if I'm even going to watch. I'm watching Ozark right now. I don't have time for this stupid YouTube video you sent me. this Rabel Brothers YouTube video. I don't have time for that. God, comedy's so hard, man. This is the hardest thing in the world. People are so vicious to you about it, too. I mean, every other art form just gets a free pass. Yeah, you know what? They do. There was an art exhibit. Here's what the art exhibit was. I'm shitting you not. And by the way, I understand that art can say anything and push anything. And I'm pretty open to, like, art is whatever you say it is types of things. But here's what this art exhibit was. It was a TV streaming a guy walking down the street carrying a bag of trash from behind. That was one piece in it. And then there was six American flags. They were folded. So all you could see was the red and white stripes. That was like a second piece in it. And then the third piece was just like trash on top of a wood block. I don't know, man. I feel like that's nothing. I feel like this artist kind of sort of got, you know, money from the installation and then didn't really work very hard. And then the night before it was like, oh, fuck, that art's due? Shit. What am I going to do? I'll just run to the store. It's July 5th. That means American flags are on sale because all these companies want to get rid of their dumb American flags. They just have an inventory. Sweet. Give me 12 of them. I'll fold them and hang them up on the wall. An old TV on the sidewalk. I'll plug that in and somebody film me walking with trash down the street. And I'll just put that trash in that block over there. How is that art, man? You look at it and you're like, what is the meaning behind this? Oh, nothing. Nothing. This is an untalented person. It's a real exhibit I went to. It's crazy when people act on terrible ideas, like the Museum of Sex in New York City. When that came out, I don't know when that thing opened, but if it opened in like the 1970s, people must have been like, whoa, holy shit. The Museum of Sex. Dude, that's so sick. I bet it's crazy in there. And it's like, we've all seen boobs. At this point, I mean, I can stream porn 24/7. 24/7 I can watch porn. You think a Museum of Sex is even going to be remotely titillating to me? I can order every sex toy. I can order a dildo that is as big as me. I can order a literal butt that I can fuck. Granted, I don't know where I'm going to keep it in my apartment. That's what's so funny to me. You don't act weird right now. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen the butt they advertise in the side of porn. It's so funny. It's just a big old silicone butt. It's so big and cumbersome. You don't realize how big a butt is until it's cut off of a human and it's slapped in silicone and it's put on your desk. Just a big old butt. Imagine cleaning that thing. You walk out of your room with your roommates. You just got a tray with the butt on it. And you're like, I'm just going to toss this in the dishwasher. Because you're not going to want to wash your cum out of it with your hand, are you? No, you're not. Oh, man. How much time we have? 49? You know what, people? This shit cheered me up today. Sometimes you just need to speak and say nonsense for 50 minutes and get through it. That's what you need. To have four topics and then realize that you burnt through them all immediately, so then you start doing the self-loathing thing halfway through the podcast, then resurrect it with some great points later on. It's been solid, people. I really, really appreciate you listening to this. I don't know if any of you are. Who knows if you are? Why don't you guys tweet at me? Hit me up on Instagram. Let me know what you think. I always say it. I'm going to get this up on YouTube. But just fucking... Dude, you don't know how goddamn tired I am all the time. And I can't get to everything all the time. But, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I do care what you have to say. Let me know. And Johnny Fairplay, if you want to fight, meet me at Union Square Sunday, 3 p.m. I will knock you the fuck out, bitch. Bye.